Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today, we're asking you to get out of my wormhole. Get out of my wormhole. What are we talking about with that? Well, we're going to look a little bit into time travel.
I was hoping that space.com, which I tried to steal the domain name from like early in the 90s, but failed miserably. As a simple definition, it said, time travel is defined as moving between different points in time. Now, I'll be honest with you, if I had managed to steal that domain name, I would have come up with a better definition of time travel.
Yeah. Obviously, they didn't get a hold of Webster and ask them to make that definition. Isn't there some old saying that in the definition of a word, you're not supposed to reuse that word in the definition? So time travel, defined as traveling through time, did that really define anything?
Moving between different points in time. This is space.com. Now, I'll be honest with you, I haven't gone to their website and seen what else they offer.
I wonder what their definition of space is.
Well, I think they might have been bought out. You know those companies who build those big barns and like warehouses on like, you know, agricultural land and stuff? I wonder if they've been bought out by one of those companies and somewhere in East Texas, they just have acres of land of these big barns. You can wear out space.com. And this was why their definition is moving between different points in time, because the majority of their business is basically just renting out warehouse space in East Texas.
True.
Yeah, so there's that.
Nothing wrong with a good side hustle.
Well, I went for the absolute definitive explanation of everything, Wikipedia.
Mm.
And they came
highly
up,
accurate, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, always, because nothing sells authenticity as much as anybody can log in and change whatever.
Yeah.
It's on the webpage. But anyway,
crowdsourcing at its best.
Yeah, it says the concept of movement between points in time, which again I thought was a little bit of a cop out, because if you wanted to fluff something up, if you wanted to have a cheerleader thing, you'd think time travel, yay time travel,
right?
But it seems like everybody is in a competition to make time travel sound like the most boring thing to have ever been thought of.
Yeah, but obviously it's not. I mean, it's kind of a fascinating topic to kind of look into. We haven't yet proven whether or not it's even possible. I think it was Stephen Hawking that threw the little party for time travelers and nobody showed up.
Right.
And he said, based off of this, you know, the time travel doesn't exist, or they would have shown up. But what if time travel does exist and they're like, you know what? We don't want to show up to your boring party anyway.
Well, that's the same thing.
You calling me and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to have a party over at my house. Just because you have a party and you invite me doesn't mean I'm going to show up.
Right.
Maybe I don't want to come over to your house for your boring party.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, you know, I thought if I'm going to be invited to a party, him hosting a party for time travelers, for one, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to get some alcohol. I'm going to like be putting on the Xbox, doing some Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah.
He's not going to partake in that, is
he? Well, no. They do have that adaptive controller now for the Xbox, and that would kind of be cheating. So,
yeah. So, yeah, exactly. It's not proof that time travel does not exist just because somebody did not go to Stephen Hawking's lame ass party.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't go up if I had like a month advance warning and be like, is the free booze or not free booze, because I might be busy that Friday evening.
Do you think he would have got offended if you would have actually went to the party and you walked up and you said, hey, by the way, battery's a little low on my phone, can I plug my phone into your wheelchair and just kind of get a boost here?
Yeah, how many USB sockets do you have in that?
Anyway, do you have fast charging capability?
Yeah.
Can I just set my phone against your wheelchair and charge it wirelessly?
Yeah.
We're terrible people.
Well, I think you should have, you know, if you wanted to get people excited about science, I think time travel is one of those things.
Sure.
It's honestly one of those avenues where if you're going to get somebody excited about science, because it's hard to get people, the average person, once they're out of school, excited about science, get them excited about math, and time travel is one of those things. It's like, yeah, we can get people excited, because when you talk about time travel, there was a study done, and they interviewed over 30,000 people, maybe like 30,004 or something, but over 30,000 people to talk about time travel or their thoughts on time travel.
Okay.
And 97% of them referenced the Back to the Future movies.
Well, of course, because those are the greatest time travel movies ever made.
And most accurate.
Yes.
Today.
Well, absolutely, 100% accurate, especially the predictions made in Back to the Future 2 about the year 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have flying cars. There's still phone booths out there. We see holographic movies about Jaws, and we have hoverboards.
Yeah, hoverboards. So, Sarah.
I give that 10 out of 10 for accuracy.
Very accurate. 100%.
Yeah. They figured it out. You know, we still don't have doorknobs on our doors anymore. We use our thumbprint for that. I mean, they got it all right. They got it all absolutely right.
And this is the thing. It's like people want time travel, but they don't want the consequences of time travel.
Mm.
Again, in this same research thing, and I think, you know, the person who was writing up the questions probably wrote this sentence, because I doubt the people who answered it gave this answer. But they said, the use of a hypothetical device known as a time machine.
Okay.
Right? It's like hypothetical. Yeah, because, yeah, really? Because right. I thought it existed. I thought I could, like, go to Walmart and buy the cheaper version for, like, $19.99 rather than going to Best Buy, spending the full $300 and guarantee I wouldn't be, like, heading back to the dinosaur thing, you know? I mean...
Well, you could have, but apparently there's bots now on the internet that buy up stuff like the new Xbox and the new PlayStation, so maybe those bots are buying up all the time machines. So maybe they're out there, we just can't get our hands on them unless you go on Craigslist and somebody posts a picture of it, but then you go in this sketchy neighborhood with cash trying to buy one.
Well, according to this study, and originally I was going to diss it because it's an online university, but now, like, obviously, in what age are we in, Shepard?
We are in the age of COVID.
Well, in the age of COVID, a lot of universities are online. So this is an online university, so we can't discredit it, because, like, even the ones with some kind of reputation are online. But 82% of people believe time travel will be invented or proved within the next decade.
Wow. Within the next 10 years, within all of a sudden, we're going to figure this out. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we can do that. I mean, we did go to the moon in the late 60s, right?
Allegedly.
Here we go. Yeah, maybe we need to do a podcast on that. But, you know, we went to the moon, not allegedly. We went to the moon back in 69 through whatever it was, 73, 74, I think was the last time we put people there. And here it is, 2020, the age of COVID. And now we're talking about sending people back. It's like, well, What was so hard about that? We figured it out 50 years ago, and now all of a sudden we have to refigure this out? I mean, literally it brings to mind the reinvent the wheel scenario. Like, couldn't we just dig out some of the old stuff and say, hey, let's, you know, slap coat of turtle wax on this and shoot it back up there?
Yeah, and I think NASA pretty much word for word took that approach you just described, which probably explains why the government kicked it out within 2 minutes of reviewing the paper. But what age did the concept...
The age of COVID.
Yeah.
Wrong question.
Not the age of COVID.
Oh, okay.
Because we're now in the age of COVID.
That's right. Okay.
At what age of the Shepherd did you first know or hear about time travel outside of, obviously, Back to the Future, who are not sponsoring us, by the way. We just like the movies.
Yeah. I will take a free DeLorean, though, if DeLorean wants to sponsor us. But when did I first hear about time travel?
Or think about it. Even if it wasn't introduced.
Think about it.
I wish I could go back and...
Oh, gosh. It's got to probably be before Back to the Future, because you always think about, you know, when you're hearing about history, you're hearing about stories from the past, whether it's, you know, the Bible, whether it's just your normal history, whether it's world history, American history. I'm like, oh, you know, that would have been kind of cool to see, even if it was something in the kind of recent past. I mean, there's stuff that's happened, you know, within the past, say, 50, 60 years that I wasn't alive for that I would have honestly kind of liked to have seen. Even stuff that was on film when film was invented or photographs or whatever, it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, that would have been kind of cool to be there, you know, be that whole fly on the wall scenario.
Now, what year did the first actual Back to the Future movie come out?
1985.
So you were still sucking on your mother's teat. You were like 13 or 14.
Oh, no, I wasn't quite that old.
We'll go into that on another podcast.
But, yeah, I was 7 or 8 years old.
Now, did you see that pretty quickly? Now, when that came out, I mean, did you have any type of concept of time travel?
Probably not at that age. I mean, it was still just kind of a thought, you know, how cool would it be to witness some events, not actually interact with them, but just witness them. Once again, that fly on the wall scenario.
I mean, the reason I'm asking that is because, like I said, 97% of people reference that sequence of movies as their understanding or basic understanding, not total understanding,
right?
Or of when they were introduced to the concept of time travel.
You know, in 97%, you know, that seems kind of high.
Yeah.
The girl that cuts my hair tomorrow, I'm getting a haircut, and the girl that cuts my hair, shout out to Kimberly, has never seen Back to the Future, and that kind of bothers me. I mean, I almost didn't want to let her cut my hair anymore, and I keep joking with her, look, you're going to watch these movies, or you're going to stop cutting my hair, because every person should have seen Back to the Future.
Right.
And you know what? Say what you want about 2 and 3. I like them all. Back to the Future 1, quite honestly, they even study that in film school. So take the time travel part out of it, right? They study that as the perfect script for a movie.
Well, you actually, to interject there, the reason they do it is because they actually call that one of the most perfect trilogies in terms of how everything ties in.
Yeah.
Because it was like they wrote this entire script in one day and broke it up into 3 different parts. And it's, you know, for as long as they actually, the gaps, they filmed the movies, I mean, it is almost like a seamless trilogy. I mean, you watch that.
It is.
It is a great example of, if you're going to have a movie, which really you could have probably done in 30 minutes, but you spread it out to 3 different movies, yet it be entertaining, still right. Keep, you know, the same kind of plot line. I mean, well, that's why they study it, because it's renowned as one of the best trilogies of all time.
Not only that,
in terms of quality.
But don't forget about when they were filming 2, they filmed 2 and 3 at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of helped in that. When you saw 2, and honestly, I think even if you have 2 on DVD or whatever, but I remember seeing 2 in the movie theater, and when 2 ends, you see the preview immediately for 3.
Right.
You know, they had already filmed the vast majority of 3 whenever 2 came out. So it was that just seamless. They had a date, you know, hey, it's going to be released whenever. I think it was like 89 or 90 or something like that for 3. So they already had that in place that Back to the Future comes out and they're going to have 2 and 3. And they knew it was coming.
Yeah, and just a shout out to the Wachowski brothers. It is possible to film 2 episodes of a trilogy and actually make them good if you film them back to back. That's a non-shout out to Matrix 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that didn't go so well.
No, it didn't. There's some other trilogies out there that have certain parts that were great, and then somebody decided to sell out and kind of ruin certain people's childhoods.
Yeah.
But George Lucas will remain unnameless.
I'm pretty sure, like, before Back to the Future, there's been plenty of people through history who, in their own equivalents of having a shower, have had the hypothetical arguments I wish I would have won with people in high school when they're like 64 or whatever, and wishing they could go back in time and change things, or if I just went back in time and changed this one event, my life would be better.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you stop and think about it. I'm sure on a daily basis, a lot of people, you know, they get into a meeting, let's say, a Zoom call now in the age of COVID, or a phone conversation, because you don't have as much face-to-face interaction anymore. And then that ends and you go 30, 45 minutes later and you have that, oh man, I should have said that. It, you know, if I could only go back and just say this part.
But that's kind of minuscule in a way compared to life events. Like if you could go back, I mean, it's like the old Al Bundy, he's not Egyptian, Al Bundy thing from Married with Children. You know, when he's the quarterback and he like threw whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all have these scenarios where if we could go back and change one thing where our entire lives would have changed. Now, when it comes to work, like you were just mentioned, oh, I wish I'd have said that. That's small stuff and it may or may not have changed much at all. But, you know, the majority of people have these kind of things that they think if they went back and could change one thing or just this little sequence of things, their entire life would be better and everything would be perfect.
Yeah, there was a writer at one time, I can't remember who it was, that had said, you know, your life's only really a series of like, you know, 8 or 9 huge moments, you know, huge choices, huge decisions that you make, and you find yourself at that crossroads and you realize, okay, if I go left, you know, this happens. If I go right, this happens. But I've got to turn. I'm at an intersection. So I've got to go one way or the other. And you always say, well, what would have happened if I would have went the other way?
Right.
Did I make the right choice? Talking about time travel, I remember, was it Amazon that came out with the JFK deal, the 11/22/63 had... I can't remember the guy's name that was in it. It was one of those like 5 or 6 part series, and he's got this ability to travel back through time.
What's the series is?
Series. I invented that word.
Is that like Blu-ray version?
Yes.
Okay.
And so the whole premise of it is that he can go back and stop the Kennedy assassination. But then he realizes when he stopped the assassination, the world went into nuclear war and everything was destroyed. And so it was better to actually let it happen.
Right.
So just because you think you're doing a noble thing or taking that other turn in a tragedy doesn't necessarily mean everything else turns out better. That whole butterfly effect, you know, a butterfly flaps its wings and all of a sudden this starts moving, that starts moving, and all kinds of other things are affected by it.
Yeah, that leads me to 2 points, and actually reversing back to one of the podcasts we did earlier in the week about Alzheimer's, I've actually forgotten the second point. But the first point...
We did a podcast about Alzheimer's? I don't remember that.
Did we or did we not? I thought it was... Oh, no, we did one on memory, I think.
Oh, I already forgot about that.
Maybe we didn't do it. I know. I think I wrote the notes. Oh, anyway, it don't matter. Yep. Anyway, the point is, no, there was a, talking about the Kennedy assassination thing. There was a similar thing. I think it was on something like The Twilight Zone or one of those type shows where this guy was a amateur radio enthusiast, like, you know, short band radio.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you really don't have to get into it, because if you're watching The Twilight Zone at 11 o'clock at night, I doubt the exact science is really going to like throw you off not watching it. But anyway, he managed to get in contact with his grandfather in World War II, who actually died on a ship.
Oh, yeah. Right? They made a movie about that, too.
Yeah, and like, this is probably it, because this might be complete BS, and I'm not remembering it correctly remotely, but let's not...
Because we obviously
let's not change the track on that.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah. So anyway, he's managing to contact his grandfather, and he warns him that his ship is going to be sunk by a German U-boat, and he warns his grandfather, and that ship doesn't get sunk, and he goes to bed that night, falls asleep, and wakes up in the morning, and he's waking up to the sound of marching. He looks out of his window, and there's a whole bunch of Nazi troops marching down his road, and so even though he tried to do something good, it had this unforeseen consequence.
Right.
Sometimes you have to let things happen, you know, for things to materialize for the better. And I guess that's the one thing about time travel. You think you're going to go back and change this and this, but it's very polarized in terms of, oh, how is this going to affect my life? But you don't realize the knock-on effect of how it might change everybody else's life and circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, let's take something kind of near and dear to our heart, right? If it probably wasn't for COVID, the age of COVID that we're living in right now, we would have never started this podcast.
That's true.
But let's be honest. Yeah. I was going back and forth to work, didn't have the opportunity for us to be able to get together, sit down, and put a podcast together. So if we would have went back in time, a little more than a year ago, and one dude eats a bat, and you just go ahead and knock him off, and COVID never spreads, we wouldn't actually be doing this podcast right now.
And that science is too deep. We need to get that down to the basic
level. I know.
We were bored, had nothing better to do, so we made a podcast.
I was trying to make a better excuse.
Okay. So anyway,
there you apparently go, letting out the secrets again. You're not supposed to be letting out the secrets.
The romanticized introduction of time travel came from H.G. Wells in 1895.
H.D. Wells or H.G. Wells?
Son, yeah. There ain't no H.D. Wells.
Well,
maybe there is. It's just probably not as popular.
Okay.
Actually, from the podcast you did with Kevin the other day.
Yeah.
When you have to actually register your name and can't have... names which are similar. There probably is an H.D. Wells out there, but he just didn't produce anything worth crap. So that's probably haven't heard of him. Yeah. So anyway, H.G. Wells in 1895 released his novel called The Time Machine, which I'm actually happy about for two reasons.
I wonder what that was about.
This is the thing. I mean, you pick up that book, right? 1895 or maybe 1896, depending on how long it takes your printing press, local printing press, or your local Barnes & Noble to get the book out there in circulation.
Or your public library.
Right, yeah.
That, or the, you know, Kelly might have a copy of that book at the public library.
We love Kelly. And, so anyway, I love that book just because of the title, because you know what you're getting, right?
Right.
Yeah, there's no virtue signal in nothing. I mean, everybody knows their roles. And, like, I can't tell you, like, when I... In high school, they gave us this book to study, and it was called To Kill a Mockingbird. And I thought it was a guide, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how disappointed I was. I got to the end of that book, no no bird deaths whatsoever. I enjoyed the movie, but the book was a disappointing thing based upon the title.
Well, not only that, but I'm surprised they allow that book in Texas, because the mockingbird is the state bird of Texas.
Well,
I mean, why haven't all the Texans got together and say, hey, who would want to write a book about killing our state bird?
Well, there were no deaths in the book, so I think...
I didn't read the
book. Well, no, it's probably summarized online. People get mad, they look it up, and it's like, oh, no birds were hurt in the production of this book, and then they just don't care about it.
Well, that was one of those books I think everybody was supposed to read. I just, you know, I don't know how to read books, so I didn't read it. I'm sure I probably had to do a report on the book, and I probably plagiarized the whole thing, but I already got my high school diploma, so, statute of limitations.
Bam. Online, son, $29. But anyway, I've got this new section. Normally we do Stump the Shepherd, which is giving you questions which no normal person on the face of the planet could ever get.
Are you throwing me a curveball now? You're not going to try to stump me, so you're going to stump me in a different way that we're not doing Stump the Shepherd?
No, this is Indict the Shepherd.
Oh.
So this is a segment where if anybody records it can be used in court.
Against me.
Against you, to put you in jail if any of these things actually happen. So this is the Indict the Shepherd version, but it's on time travel.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Which we all know is BS, so you're going to be right.
Oh, do we?
So, first question.
Coming from the guy that says we didn't land on the moon, but okay.
No, I didn't say that. Oh, yeah. I just said allegedly.
Okay.
I just don't know. Remember, you have to think, the whole thing about landing on the moon, right? We're in a very Cold War era. And there are a bunch of countries which were kind of, you know, titter-tattering between, like, Russia, America, Russia, America, which way do we go? Communism, capitalism, yeah, whatever. And the first nation which would have landed on the moon would have convinced a bunch of these kind of not so, I don't want to be rude about it, not so smart nations to actually follow one side or the other, east versus west, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, you know... It was very important that we landed on the moon, because a lot of these countries which sell oil and have gas pipelines and have great, I guess you want to call it, interim strategic shipping, you know, locations, it was very important that they sided with the West over the East. So if we really had to throw everything into faking it, it would have been the best decision we would have ever made in terms of guaranteeing peace and making sure we didn't head to nuclear war. And that's my only kind of thing on it. I think we landed on the moon and stuff. I don't believe some of the stuff around it, but you could absolutely understand and apologize if we didn't, given the stakes.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a long thing. So anyway.
But we landed on the moon.
Yeah, probably. I'm a bit worried about sending a woman to Mars.
Why?
Well, look. Why have there been no women on the moon?
Well, now we're going to get into this huge philosophical discussion.
It's not philosophical, it's basic. Why have we not sent a woman to the moon?
Tell me why we haven't sent a woman to
the moon. Well, no, I'm asking you, because they can push the same buttons. I mean, I know a woman can't play quarterback in the NFL, but there's no reason why a woman can't hit the same buttons within a spaceship.
That could be argued, because the Dallas Cowboys severely need a quarterback, and there's probably some women out there that can play better than that, but we're not a sports podcast. Time travel. We're talking about time travel.
Here we go. If you had free use of and I'm stopping here because I did not copy this link from Pornhub. If you had free use of analogous movement.
Yep.
Yeah, if you had free use of that, what would you do with it? Given we haven't described what the word means or can't pronounce it, what would you do with it?
I would use it to go fishing.
Yeah, that's probably good. Well, actually, what that word means, because I didn't actually bother looking it up, that means the free movement in time and space. So you had free movement in time and space. What would you actually do with it?
Why can't they just say that?
Well, because they had to put that analogous.
So we've got this terrible definition for time travel, but then we have this fancy word for this.
Right.
So what would I do with that?
Yeah, what would you do with time travel, mate?
So basically, where would I go? What would I do? Yeah. Right? Oh, man.
I know instantly the answer to this question anytime anybody ever asks me.
Oh, okay, because I don't. I mean, there's so many. I've got this just laundry list of things that I would want to go see. And it would be hard to pin one specific one down. Are you trying to pin me down to one? Like, you know.
Okay, let me ask it this way then. Okay. If there was one thing you could go back in time, and remember we had this conversation about knock-on effects, not the butterfly effect,
right.
Because that's a little bit bullshit in a way. But if there was one thing you could go back and you honestly think, bam, this would change my entire life, what would it be? Your
movement.
Yeah.
Not the life of humanity. No, not the country.
No,
just me personally.
Yeah, no, they can
right?
suck it.
Oh, God. I don't know. I've got a couple.
Well, you see, the thing is,
if I said a couple,
you've already failed
them,
the test, Shepard. Stop! You've already failed the test.
See, yeah, all right.
There is a test on this, and it's in a very official test, right?
Okay.
But I didn't write it down, so I can't tell you what it was. But most people can within 2 seconds bring up something they would like to go back and change in terms of what they blame for. What is not happening in their life, which they would like to. If you can't think of it in 2 seconds, there is actually nothing you could go back that would change to make you any happier. There was a book, might not have been a book, might have been a commentary, I don't know. Again, I didn't research it very well, by a pastor who referenced about everybody is saying, oh, if only I could have. Oh, if I could go back in time, I'd do this.
The old coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah, and it's based upon the fact that up until that point in your life, your conditioning, your experiences and everything else, you would still have made that same decision 99.9999 whatever percent type of the time. There are very few decisions in our life which are a toss of a coin. It could have gone one way or the other. So when people say, oh, if I could go back in time, blah, 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 they're really talking about if I had the foreknowledge and I went back. If you put anybody back in that situation without knowing what they know, they would still pretty much always make the same decision. So whenever anybody says, if you could go back in time, it's always with the foreknowledge you have now,
yeah,
what would you go back and change? But then it's a very linear, constructive idea of if I did this, it would lead to this. But again, you ignore the knock-on effects and the effect that it might end up of you dying the next day and you would never have got to this point you want to change in the first place.
Yeah, what's that old, if I would have known then what I know now? I think there was even a song that had that in there. Right. So basically, that's what you're saying.
Yeah. That we never know the cause and effect. And again, that's, you know, the whole butterfly effect, which has been proven a million times to be BS. But it's a simple idea of, you know, small things can have a large impact. One of my friends avoided dying on 9/11 because the bus arrived 3 minutes late. She was supposed to be doing a tour of the World Trade Center on that day.
Wow.
And she missed the tour by 30 minutes.
Yeah.
If the bus had turned up on time, she would have been dead. Now, the reason the bus didn't turn up on time was the guy was sick and was actually staying at home.
The bus driver.
Yeah. He was on the toilet, called in. They didn't have another driver to take that bus. And so they had to go, okay, just turn up when you can. So he was a few minutes late. Everybody was late. Everybody was connecting on and they had to hold up. So too many passengers. But she would have died on that day. She would have died on 9/11 doing that tour, plus all these international students, CFL, English as a foreign language students, if she had caught that bus. So when you talk about the butterfly effect, yes, it can be very, very small things, but for the most part, no, a butterfly flapping its wings is not going to cause, know, but, like a hurricane.
Yeah,
we've got to have
a metaphor, and that's one thing that people get. I think there was another story about Seth MacFarlane. He was supposed to be on one of the airplanes that struck the Trade Center, and he was hungover or something like that and missed his flight. Or I vaguely remember something about that. But yeah, there's all those weird things. One of my wife's favorite movies is called Sliding Doors. And you'd like it. There's a lot of British people in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it because it's romance. So I don't watch romance. Well, is that the one with that blonde woman who married Chris Martin? What's her name?
Oh, I don't know who she married. She's the crazy one.
It's a ripoff of Serendipity, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so.
No, it's a ripoff of Serendipity. One of the movies ripped off the other one.
Well, it's called Sliding Doors.
Yeah, it's a ripoff of
Gwyneth Paltrow. There it is. Gwyneth Paltrow.
The one who married Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Okay. I didn't know she married him.
Yeah.
But sorry for that dude. Yeah. But anyway, you know, that whole premise, there was something in the movie where I don't remember if she, like, you know, trips or something and misses the train. You know, and so the whole premise of the movie is if she would have made the train, this is what happens. And if she would have missed the train, this is what happens. And the movie's trying to fool you into believing, oh, because she made the train, everything turned out great for whatever. But then in the end, it's basically the exact same outcome. So it was just kind of taking two different routes to getting to the same end game.
I just want to say a note to the listeners out there. Over the last 18 months, I've downloaded about 40 romantic movies for the shepherd and his wife. And so when he's giving it all this blah, 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 something, and maybe blah, 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 and this and that, that he actually knows full well because he has sat down and watched this movie with his wife. But also, I need to actually add Serendipity to the list because I don't think we have that in the romance folder on the hard drive.
That Serendipity movie, though, it doesn't really have anything to do with time travel.
Well, yeah, that's more about coincidence.
You know, and then all of a sudden, all of a sudden happens.
That was BS. You're absolutely right.
But you know what? That's a good movie. I mean, I like a good John Cusack movie when he's trying to be that type of character. And he was in that movie. But yeah. Time travel.
If that's what you want to choose on your day off. Anyway.
Yeah.
So if you had to go back, and this is a no consequence question, okay. Right?
No consequence.
Because, you know, you ask people, oh, if you had to go back in time, what would you do? And they're like, oh, yeah, I'd kill Hitler. Like, yeah, you might have made things worse, but it don't matter. But
exactly.
With no consequence, if you could go back in time and punch somebody in the face or punch them in the balls or the vajayjay, who would you go back and assault? You don't have to use their actual real name. You can use their initials. They're probably not listening to this anyway, because, you know.
That's a very long list.
There's got to be a top person you'd go back and punch in the testicles.
Now, are we talking about just somebody kind of, you know, in my life, so to speak? Or are we talking about a famous
No, not a famous person, because I'd go like, you know, I mean, if we asked that question, I'd be just like going in a forest or whatever and punching chimpanzees in the face.
CD.
Because I hate chimpanzees, remember? CD?
And we'll leave it at that.
All right, fair enough. Is that a woman or a male? At that time, what did they identify as?
Honestly, it was questionable at best, even back in that time.
Fair enough. Yep. You've probably answered the question with that. So, if you had the choice of traveling to the past to correct things, and remember, because of that kind of study I brought up where I couldn't remember who did it or whatever.
Right.
Or going to the future just to be really nosy about crap. Which one would you decide? Because obviously you took longer than 2 seconds, so you don't really need to go back to the past. But if you go to the future and have a glimpse of what crap's going on, which one would you choose?
Past.
Past? Why?
Absolutely. Because I would want to witness some things firsthand. We have this...
No, this is within your lifetime. No.
Oh, this just is on
my... Yeah.
Okay, so this is not, can I go back to Continental Congress and watch them draft the
You cannot watch
of
a T-Rex kind
okay.
of like
okay.
abuse
so this
of Diplodocus.
No. This is in my life.
Your life,
then
yeah.
I'd go to the future, obviously.
And why? What would you be nosy about? What would you bring back?
Figure out if I ever get a DeLorean.
Well, that's... You see, that's based upon a lot of factors which you could change now. That's not... And even if you have that knowledge, you finally get one, you've got to reverse engineer that to how did you get one.
Yeah, but knowing, it kind of like bringing
but
it back
can
to
change,
the future.
Because you can come back and you can make decisions which you think are going to get you a DeLorean, but now you start making decisions which stop you from getting that DeLorean.
Yeah, but...
The grandfather paradox.
But you know what, though? Even in the Back to the Future movie, when Doc Brown's talking about, you know, it's good to know that, you know, I made it 30 years, I get to see 1985, that I get to travel through time, and I've invented this, and I've done this. It probably helped him along knowing that, hey, I was able to continue on my timeline knowing that I was going to succeed at something finally. Because if you look at the way the movie's based, and when Marty goes back to 55 and he sees Doc and he's got this failed experiment and this, that, and the other, and he's not able to do anything that he can make work. But then Doc says, hey, you know, I just need to keep plugging along because I did invent this time machine. So, you know, maybe he was having a bad day and he said to himself, you know, I'm no good as a scientist. I'm going to go work at Whataburger and flip hamburgers now. But then when he saw that if he just continues down that path, he's going to invent the DeLorean time machine, then boom, maybe that gave him that kind of push to keep plugging away at what he's been doing.
I've just realized we could literally piss upon any movie script that has ever been written and make sure it never got filmed.
How?
Because we have such a... I think this is actually applicable to everybody.
Okay.
That, you know, when people... I mean, just like when we were talking about, you know, Star Wars trilogy, prequels, everything else, that would go back, change this. We ignore... you know, the effects it would have on everything else in the sequence, right? Okay. And because we don't like this part of the movie, oh, let's cut this part out. It doesn't explain this. It doesn't explain this. And then somebody else comes along and says, look, yeah, you didn't like this bit, but what you don't understand, this is what influenced this character to do blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And a lot of the time when we watch movies, again, we watch it on a very linear fashion.
Yeah.
We accept what we're presented with and we think, oh, yeah, I would have changed this. I would have changed this. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have done this. But you have to remember the majority of people make very stupid mistakes on the spur of the moment. And so if you actually took this part out of the movie would have ended very differently and you probably wouldn't have enjoyed the movie overall.
It's probably true.
About it. And that's a very complicated thing when it comes to, I would change this. I would change this. It doesn't matter what it's about. When you put in the whole cause and effect thing of it, you know, you kind of take out, well, I want this goal. I'm going to kind of reverse engineer it by not making this happen or making this happen, but then expecting it going along this linear line of getting to a certain goal where nothing else is effectuated.
Right.
That, you know, nothing is going to change. It's like, oh, I do this and it results in this goal. And that's not how it works in anything, not in the most basics of science. I mean, you know, when you talk about, you know, you go in, you know, into the future and looking at things, the knowledge you gain from going into the future might absolutely prevent that future from happening. Because I can guarantee once you've had, like, you know, 19 alien ales down your throat, you're going to say to somebody, oh, well, I bet this or I bet that or this or that. And that one person may half-wittedly kind of accept the comment you've made, but maybe mention it to somebody 2 years later and it changes this, it changes that. And again, going back to that butterfly effect, which is not accurate in the minuscule things, but you know, you might actually stop something happening which you went into the future to see. So, I mean, if you had the choice between free time travel to the past or have an exact clone of yourself now to do all the stuff you don't want to do, what would you choose?
Free travel to the past.
Free. So if you could go back and change small things where you don't think there would be a consequence, you'd choose that rather than having a clone now, which would do all the crap you don't want
to
do.
Yeah. No, I'd like to, you know, once again, be able to just, you know, fly on the wall, maybe change a couple of little things, just,
for
you know,
purpose,
out of curiosity. Curiosity's sake, it would be it. And the stupid examples that I can come up in my head are, you know, little mistakes that I look back at, like, you know, I traded this car in and I'm pretty sure I could have got $500 more on my trade if I'd have pushed a little harder. It's such inconsequential.
But you've got to have a lot more escalation for that to have really, this many years later, if actually.
Well, yeah, but like you said, I failed the test of, you know, what major events in my life would I have changed, because there really aren't.
No,
any.
You actually succeeded.
Well, fair enough. Depending on your point of view.
You're one of a few percentage of people who actually succeed. And like, if you can't answer that question within 2 or 3 seconds, you've actually succeeded in that. You know what?
Look, I look at certain things, you know, going back in this of some of the times I used to play poker. In knowing the outcome of the hand, realizing, man, I shouldn't have folded that hand.
Right.
Once I realized, you know, what came, you know, on the river, I would have hit this and I would have won a couple $100. It's those things that kind of go into my mind of, man, that knowledge would have been great to know I could have won that hand.
But this is one of the reasons we had to completely get rid of the example of the Back to the Future thing of going and getting the sports almanac in the future. Because when it comes down to money, if you were, when you were 15 years old, suddenly had like $20 trillion. You could have chosen a life point. Now, you might have been dead at 17, but that's still about your decisions.
And even like the sports almanac, you could say, well, I'm going to get all of the copies of the Wall Street Journal printed out and I'm going to buy at the right point and sell at the right point and just, you know, play the stock market perfectly because I have all the information. You could look at it that way.
But again,
too
complicated. I mean, like, if you had the sports almanac, it'd have been all you needed. just results, you know, that going to happen.
But that's, of course, why they did it that way and didn't go with the stock market, because it's easy to say, hey, if you know all the horse race results, then you just go bet on horse races.
But this is the point. You could have affected stock market things. So say like if you bet or bought shares on something, it might have completely destroyed the competition.
Yeah, but you know what?
Sports results are just what they are.
But
maybe they're not.
Horse racing, though, not so much. Mm. Because if you've ever been to the horse track and you've seen it, what was that movie?
Frozen?
Let It Ride.
Okay.
Where he has this premonition that he can't lose that day. And so he goes and he puts a bunch of money on that last race, and they see the odds drop on the screen. Because when you bet money in horse racing, depending on how much money is bet on each horse, it changes the odds.
It does.
So there's it's not a the number fallacy.
Of people. Exactly. There's it's a not fallacy. The number of people, it's the amount of money. Yeah.
But that's a fallacy in Back to the Future too that I've never really thought about.
That is true. Yeah, it's the amount of money, and not the number of people. Because you can have 1,000 people bet a dollar, but one person bets $50,000, that changes the odds. Yeah,
yep. And it would in sports too. I'm not big on how sports betting works, but I know lines change and odds change based off of that money in there. So maybe that's a plot hole in there that if all of a sudden all that money was being bet by Biff, maybe he wouldn't have been able to win as much. Yeah. The outcome of the game might have been the same, but if you're betting big money on that and it's even bets, you're not going to win that big. Right.
That would have to have been a Vegas point of sale last minute bet for that to work. So anyway, so we've now started off championing Back to the Future, and we've now crapped on it. So NASA, I would have thought of all people, right? NASA would want to get people interested in science.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Because Wikipedia and space.com kind of let us down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. So NASA, right?
Yeah, but this is let's back up just a hair, because you also made a comment about how, you know, that we struggle to get people interested in science and math outside of school. But we also do struggle to get them interested in it while they're even in school.
Right, yeah.
So this is a continuous struggle.
Yeah. Well, it's NASA against TikTok. So I don't know what. We know who's going to win.
TikTok?
NASA doesn't have boobies.
But does NASA have a TikTok account? Would that be one of those paradigms that maybe NASA needs a TikTok? Maybe they need like astronauts dancing or something like that. Maybe that would fix everything. NASA, go ahead and do that. Yeah. Free of charge. Yeah. That's our donation.
No, not free of charge. No, give us some money. If you're going to use it, give us some money. Yeah, why do you always do that? Like, oh, free of charge. No, give us some money. If you're going to do this, NASA, give us some money. So anyway, this is NASA, right? Really trying to get people. Forget space.com, which I think has been taken over by some East Texas warehousing company.
Yes.
If you want to rent space, right? And Wikipedia, which can be changed by anybody.
Right.
So this is NASA, right?
Okay.
This is their official line on time travel. How to get people excited about science, right? And time travel. Here we go, NASA.
Okay.
Although humans can't hop, I'm not a rabbit, can't hop into a time machine and go back in time, we do know that clocks on airplanes, clocks on airplanes and satellites. Do you think they have clocks on satellites? Anyway.
Who's carrying clocks on airplanes?
A clock. The White Rabbit, obviously.
Apparently.
The clocks on airplanes and satellites travel at a different speed than those on Earth. That's NASA trying to get you excited about science and time travel.
Clocks.
How to be a bitch 101. I mean, if you want to have nobody get involved in your line of work, that's the way to do it. Yeah, they can't hop into a time machine, and you know, clocks are a little bit funny when you go up in the air, so yeah, just don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah, so that's that. So I did want to actually revisit before we kind of like wrap up on one of Joe Rogan, one of our buddies, gets on the show, Uncle Joe. He talks in one of his stand-ups about the grandfather paradox, which is a very common paradox that people talk about in terms of cause and effect, that They say time travel is not real because somebody could go back and kill their grandfather and then you would never be born. And I mean, it's a very basic linear structure.
Right. And they but they talk about that in Back to the Future. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole premise behind the first movie.
Yeah. But that's the thing of, like, you know, the future we know now, almost no risk, even if it'd be a small one, would be worth going back and changing given the cause and effect. Now, sure. Obviously, the grandfather paradox is a very obvious one. You kill a grandfather, you're not going to be born.
Yeah.
But, you know, even these small things, you know, if you could go back in time and, you know, you're in high school and you ran a different pattern, caught the ball and got a touchdown, how that would change your life. It might literally lead you to be invited to a party that you were never going to be invited to. You drink too much and you die crashing drunk on the way home.
Right.
And that's the end of your life. And it's, you know, people don't kind of see this cause and effect. It's just very linear line. And I think that's where Back to the Future kind of fails, and it also succeeds in terms of it introduces people to cause and effect, you know, because there's certain things of, like, you know, Doc Brown's always like, you can't change the past, you can't change the past, you know, Marty, don't change the past, blah, blah, blah. But you see these small changes have a huge effect.
True.
In the future. And it's like what you think is a change for the good becomes a change for the bad.
Right. Yeah, it makes total sense.
So here we go. This is the official line on time travel, right?
Okay.
This is the absolute piss on my parade thing of it, right? We're going to leave the listeners with this. A temporal paradox, time paradox, or time travel paradox is a paradox, an apparent contradiction or logical contradiction associated with the idea of time and time travel. Now, I don't know about you. I just want to go with the Back to the Future thing. That's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Back to the Future thing. Right. That's so much easier to kind of digest and understand. And for those 3% of people out there that don't immediately refer back to Back to the Future, I'm highly disappointed in you. I thought that percentage number would be lower, but I think it should be 100%. Don't you? I mean, you look at Back to the Future, and we poked holes in one of my favorite movies. I didn't think whenever we started this that I would start having all these questions about Back to the Future, but now I'm starting to get a little disappointed in some of the things in the movie.
Do you actually, I was going to say this like within like 90 seconds as the start of the podcast, but you absolutely want to know what my embarrassing, if I could go back in time, thing would do.
Yeah, you know what? You asked me, so fair enough. Right, tell me what yours is.
We had this home economics teacher when I was like in high school, and I was like, I don't know, maybe 15, 16, whatever. I'm sure Mrs. Marshall, that was her name. I'm sure she's dead by now, actually. Pretty sure, because she was like 45, 50... whatever. But anyway, she was a MILF, GILF, whatever title you want to give to her.
Right.
And I remember one time, like, she gave us this like homework assignment to make a shepherd's pie, which is a great English staple. Fantastic meal. Fantastic meal. But anyway, I made one, and she was like, oh my goodness, this tastes fantastic, because we had to bring it into class.
Yeah.
And this is awesome. And I remember standing next to her, and she was like going down, because we had to like write down, you know, how we cooked it, all the ingredients, time in the oven, how much you put in and all this stuff. And I remember this time where I thought, if only I could have moved my left hand 4 inches over to the left, I could have touched her boob. That's my time travel moment.
There you go. And with that said, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd, and we will catch you on the next one.